5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Have you met Eugene Gustman? I think that's his name. He's an everyday 13-year-old. He's from Ukraine. He doesn't know very much about his dad's work. His dad's a gynecologist, as it happens. He does, though, love his pet guinea pig, which is a crucial detail in his life. Am I painting a plausible picture here? Apparently I am, because this Eugene Gustman fooled a whole lot of judges in an event in London over the weekend. They had a five-minute conversation with Eugene. The problem is that Eugene doesn't exist. Eugene is, in fact, a computer program. And this is the first time that what's called a chatbot has fooled more than 30% of judges. And that's a significant figure because in doing so, it means that Eugene has now passed what is called the Turing test for artificial intelligence. Does this demonstrate now that computers are learning how to think and our destruction is imminent? Angus Kidman joins me. He will be, well, in the midst of the destruction with all of us if this comes to pass. He's the editor of Lifehacker Australia. Angus, are you scared?
No, I'm actually not scared. I think it's interesting that we've sort of passed this point in coming up with a plausible chatbot, but I'm not actually convinced that the chatbot passed the Turing test, and I really don't think that we're yet at a point where we can say, well, the computers are now intelligent and they're going to take over. We haven't quite crossed that threshold.
Thank you very much for your time, Angus. There's nothing more to speak about. I've got to say, I agree, because when you look at, he's from Ukraine, he doesn't necessarily speak perfect English. He's got a lot of excuses to cover up the sort of the computer-driven inability to have a conversation, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the thing. I mean, I think the Turing test has become very famous for 60 years. It's kind of been held up as the measure of, well, this is how we're going to know that we've achieved actual artificial intelligence. And in fact, to be honest, it's based on a misunderstanding of what Alan Turing, who came up with this idea, said. He never said, oh, well, if you can make a computer have a convincing conversation, that means we've solved artificial intelligence. What he said was, you know what? We can't answer the interesting question, can machines think? Because we can't agree what thinking means. We've spent thousands of years as philosophers, well before we had, you know, electronic computers, being unable to agree on what thinking means. So trying to come up with a definition that's going to let us answer that question is impossible. So he started with a simpler question. He said, well, what does it mean if we come up with a machine that acts in the same way as a human, even if it's doing something completely different? That's really what the Turing test is about. And it's absolutely what, you know, Eugene Gustman's about, because it's about coming up with a plausible scenario where you might believe this computer's human, but you have to apply all these conditions to make it plausible. If Eugene had suddenly become, you know, a 36-year-old woman from Sydenham, it's just not going to be persuasive in the same way.
Now, I don't want to get all Scott Stevens on you, but if at the heart of this is that we don't know what thinking is, and if I think, therefore I am, do we exist?
It's a terribly complicated
existential
question.
What have you done, Angus? I thought this, we're going to talk about computers and stuff, and now I'm in the middle of a crisis.
Well, I think it's sensible to think about the impact of technology, and that can lead you into a crisis-driven kind of mode. But we haven't remotely got close to that point where actually computers are doing anything like thinking. They're doing something fundamentally quite different. Very healthy to think about it. Very healthy to try and get them to interact more usefully with us, because that has practical benefits. But yeah, I think it's symbolic of our desire as humans to panic. Really, as soon as there's a suggestion that maybe, you know, a computer's good at something, we get freaked out. The reality was, in this particular test that was run in England over the weekend, it passed because 30% of the people involved thought that was acceptable. You imagine you're in a conversation with somebody at a party and 70% of what they're saying is gibberish that makes no sense. I don't know that you're going to persist with it for,
I'm not sure that's quite
minutes.
The equivalent thing. It's not that 70% was gibberish. It's that 70% weren't convinced that this was a real person.
Well, yes, but I think this is the thing. I think at the point when we'd need to panic is the point at which you genuinely couldn't tell that you were having an interaction. And you're already in an artificial scenario because you're talking about chatting by text. Now, it's interesting. When Turing came up with the test, nobody ever had kind of full-on conversations that would have been done purely through typewriters. We, you know, people would send telegrams to each other, but it was accepted that they wouldn't sound like normal speech. It's odd that we exist in a world where, in fact, there probably are people having quite long conversations with people who aren't who they say they are by the medium of text. You know, this is how internet dating works, basically. But we've got a situation where it seems more natural, but people still aren't convinced. So I think, yeah, it's interesting that we can rig up a test, we can get through a significant set of things, but we're nowhere near the point where we have to go, oh my goodness, these machines are now coming up with their own rules, because they're not. All the rules were created by humans. Someone spent a lot of time trying to make this machine act like a human, and in no way did the machine come up with the rules that were going to generate that kind of behavior.
Right, and it was here it seems to me the heavy lifting was done by the backstory. If you create a backstory that is compromised enough in this chatbot's communication, then you can win. Right? I could convince you that this were a six-month-old who was just hashing at the keyboard, if you like, but I would have just have created a chatbot that provides gibberish, utter gibberish.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, because we totally apply context. We're hugely impressed when a nine-month-old baby says, da, and we're all willing to assign meaning to that. At the other end of the scale, if you take an adult man and he says Canada, we tend to judge that. So it's all about context.
Political editorials by Angus Kidman, editor of Lifehacker Australia. Why do we want this to happen? Because the people who designed this have now said, well, you know, we're looking forward to taking this to the next phase and improving and so on. What are we aiming at here exactly?
Well, I think there is a desire to have more natural interactions actually with computers, and we don't have very natural interactions with them right now. For all that we talk about interfaces being intuitive or things being natural to use, they're not. They're the result of being trained to interact with something in a very specific way, which is very different to the way that language, the fundamental way that humans interact with each other, emerges in our lives. So on the one hand, we're fascinated by the idea, we'd love the idea of just being able to say to our computer or to our phone, do this, and it would do it. We're nowhere near that, despite having some speech abilities in there. At the same time, we find it terrifying.
No, but I don't want to have a smartphone, for example, where I say, hey, can you get up my email? And the smartphone goes, I don't think that's the best move at the moment. Because, you know, you should probably get to bed, or you got a lunch appointment. If I open up your email, I don't want to get in a negotiation with my smartphone because it's got intelligence all of a sudden. So why? What's the benefit?
Well, the benefit is that we would like it to be able to do that when we wanted to, and the point is to be able to get it to make the distinction. It has to be better at it. But ultimately, you're right. We want to be able to set the rules. We want to be able to have constraints and say, no, well, ultimately, I control the device. It doesn't control me. That's why we panic when we hear these stories. But actually, these stories just confirm that that's what we're doing right now. We can set very specific rules for how our devices work. Our devices are not setting specific rules for how we're going to work. Haven't crossed that point yet. I suppose I don't want to say they'd never do that, but nothing in the current research suggests to me that they're going to get across that threshold anytime soon.
Are there cybercrime elements to this? If you could create a program that could convince someone that it were a person and convince just about anybody, if it got to that level, wouldn't that be a hacker's dream?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are ways you could exploit this. If you can get a machine to ring up and do a more intelligent version of the terrible, hi, I'm ringing up to tell you your computer's been patched scam call that keeps going on, that would be a resource. But you know what? Cyber criminals currently are quite happy just to throw out quite poorly constructed messages to millions of people, knowing that they'll hit 10 of them. That's working well enough for them. If this technology becomes cheap and widely available, they'll use it. But they've got enough to be going on with. They don't have to wait for this to happen, sadly, to have a fairly big pool of people to draw from.
Angus, thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm going to blow your mind by saying I'm not really here. You've been having a conversation with a bot the whole time.
Well, your Ukrainian accent is marvellous.
Yeah, it is. Angus, thank you. We're off to the drawing room in just a second. We're good to speak to you before we get there. Angus Kidman, editor of Lifehacker Australia.